seasons change. I think callings change. The outpouring of how we use our gifts and talents will change. But ultimately, we're all called as followers of Christ to go out and make disciples. It just looks different in different seasons, and it looks different for all of us.
You are listening to the Built for More podcast. My name is Lane Taylor, and I'm obsessed with hearing people's stories and the value those stories can bring into our own lives. I have a passion for business, marketing, and shining a light on all the good that is happening in the world. I'm a husband and a father that left a decade-long corporate career to pursue my own dreams and passions in the world of entrepreneurship, because I believe that we are all built for more in this life. Join me on this journey as I bring you guests and stories that will inspire and motivate you to live a life in full abundance. I'm on a mission to learn from the best and share why I know we are all built for more. Now grab a seat, hit the play button, and let's get to work. Hey friends, welcome back to the Built for More podcast. This is your host, Lane Taylor. And today is one of those days that I think that we're all going to leave the episode shining brighter, and it's going to just bring so much joy and fulfillment into your life as we get to hear from none other than Rebecca George. Rebecca, welcome to the Built for More podcast.
Thank you so much, Lane. I'm so excited and grateful to be with you today.
I tell you what, I have been excited to talk to you ever since we got connected via email. And it's just been one of those things that we got through the holiday season and now we're here in 2023. And now we get to speak a little bit. And we just had a massive connection where we learned that we were both from the same town. So
nuts.
I know, it is nuts. Well, we can dig into that a little bit before, but before we get into today's episode, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a background of who Rebecca is. And so, you know who we're getting ready to hear from today. So Rebecca is the founder of the Radical Radiance podcast. She is a community where listeners are equipped to blend what they love with Jesus, who makes them shine. She's a podcaster, speaker, writer, and a certified career coach whose greatest gift and joy in life is discipling others to pursue their passions in a way that builds the kingdom. So how about that? Rebecca, again, welcome to the podcast. I've been looking forward to this, and happy 2023.
Gosh, happy 2023. It's so crazy. I have been looking forward to this year for obvious reasons that we'll talk about today for so long. So it's crazy. I'm so excited.
What was the one thing during the holiday season that was most memorable for you?
Oh, my word. Well, we talked about this. We just moved back to Tennessee. And so me and my husband, for the last, length of our marriage, almost 4 years, have lived in South Mississippi, about 9 hours from my family and many of our friends. And so, to be honest, everything about it was memorable because it was so different than any other holiday season that we've spent in our married life together. And so just being able to pop over to Dollywood or go see my parents and it not be a 9-hour drive, like, all of it is such a joy because none of it have we experienced yet. And so it's been really awesome.
I saw where you went to Dollywood on social media. And then soon after that, my wife and our son, we went. And let me tell you, Rebecca, we went on probably one of the most busiest days at Dollywood,
oh,
I think,
gosh,
ever experienced. And for the listeners that are listening to this right now, Dollywood, if you don't know, is a theme park in the Smoky Mountains. And I don't know if it's one of the most visited parks in the United States. I did not know that.
As it should be, right? Like, I mean, where else can you ride a roller coaster, eat funnel cake, listen to bluegrass music, and do all of those things kind of in the same breath? You know, it's just a unique situation they have going on. So
that is very well said. Very well said. Well, let's get into it, Rebecca. I know that you have a book coming out in April 4th. I've read a little bit about it and what you had sent over, and then the people that have given the feedback, and I'm excited. This is going to be an amazing episode. And just a little bit, I love to take the listeners down the path of where Rebecca got started and how Rebecca is now an author and a speaker and a podcaster, because a lot of the audience that listens to this
may be searching for their things. They may be an entrepreneur. They may come for encouragement. And sure, that's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do. So walk the listeners through a little bit of how you started your thing. And then mm-hmm. we're going to talk about of how people can do their thing as well.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I would go back probably about 10 years or so in terms of where this message kind of planted in my heart. And I have a friend, I always think of her when I talk about the book. She was talking about her own first book that came out a couple years ago, and she made this statement, and I feel like it's so true of Do the Thing. She said, "This is my If I Got Hit by a Bus book. Like, if I got to write no other message and share it with the world, this would be the one that is most me, feels the most ingrained in me, that I feel compelled to share." And that's the case for me with this book. And when I think back over the course of my career and what, you know, doors God has opened that I've walked through, I think the thread of it really began about 10 years ago. My mom went through a breast cancer journey that, praise the Lord, she's about 9 years on the other side of now. And as she was walking through that, God led me to start a nonprofit that I led for about 5 or 6 years, where we donated hand crocheted and knitted hats coupled with letters of encouragement to cancer treatment centers all over the country. And that was sort of born out of her journey with breast cancer. And it was a beautiful ministry that eventually came to an end, and God called me to, you know, doing more of the work that we're doing right now, which is such a gift. But I say that because in the midst of leading that thing, I had the opportunity to share with different groups and speak about what God had done in my mom's life and how that had compelled me to start my own ministry. And I would get done speaking, and Lane, you can probably relate to this. You'll talk with people afterwards and people will come share their stories, which is one of my favorite parts of what I get to do. And I would start talking with women, and they would say something. The conversation was always the same. It was something along the lines of, "Hey, I love what God did through your mom's story." And then they would almost hush to a whisper and say something along the lines of, I feel like I have my own thing. I feel like God has prompted my heart with some thing I feel compelled to do or thing I feel I'm supposed to get involved in." And then there would always be this moment where there's something that was holding them back, right? Was it comparison? Was it, "Hey, it's already been done," or "It's already been done better than I feel like I could do it," or it's fear, or it's doubt, or it's insecurity. It was something, any one of the many things that we all struggle with as we live out our calling, that was holding them back. And really what they were looking for was permission and a cheerleader, right? And so I had so many of those conversations over those several years that I led that ministry that was the thread almost that I kept kind of grabbing onto and pulling and unraveling as I started exploring, okay, I feel compelled to speak, to write, to lead women in this way. And what would, you know, that message be? And so I think it's important to say also, just based off your audience, it was about 8 years ago that I went to my first writing conference and sort of invested in, you know, okay, let's go to a space in the industry where I can learn what it takes and what it looks like to have a traditionally published book and walk down this path. And I wrote a book proposal in 2015, thought it was the best book proposal the world had ever seen. And was quickly told otherwise by agents and industry professionals, and came home, to be honest, super discouraged. And praise God, I didn't write the book I thought I was ready to write, you know, 8 years ago. But that's part of the story, right? And so I spent several years kind of refining what is this message that I feel compelled to share. And you know, to get to where I am today, I signed with my literary agent in summer of 2020, signed my contract with my publisher in 21. And so here we are about to launch the book into the world in 2022. And so I said all that real fast. So I'm sure there's things along the way that we might want to dig into, but that's kind of the bird's eye view of where I've been.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And there was a lot to unpack there. And thank you for sharing that. But you know, what's interesting is when I get to talk with entrepreneurs and people that are doing what you're doing right now, or podcasting or writing a book or stepping out in faith, there's the, sometimes you dig down into their story like yourself. And in 2015, you wrote that first book. And I find it so fascinating because much like myself, when I thought about doing a podcast, you know, 5 years ago, I wasn't ready. And I look back and I thank God because I'm like, you know, I wasn't ready. I needed to go through some things.
Yeah.
I needed to experience more life because if I had come out with it then, it wouldn't be what it was today. And it sounds like that's kind of what your journey was as well. So can you look back on that and say, yeah, you know what? I wasn't ready. I needed to go through this. I needed to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. I can. I think that's true of any creative endeavor that we walk down. You know, I think it always takes longer than we imagine that it will. I think that's just a truth and a reality that we have to kind of grapple with. And a big part of what I would say in terms of the just the pinpointed, here's how I can say it would have been different had I written it then. You know, the book is about really seeing our work, seeing the gifts and talents God's given us from a more gospel-centered perspective. And I'm sure in the work that, you know, we both do, I'm sure you've seen it as well. There has been a whole host of messages and books come out over the last probably decade or so that have been very rooted in striving and worldly achievement. And to be honest, leave us just exhausted and more obsessed with self rather than pursuing the path God has us to walk down. And I'll be honest, I think I needed to discover more of who God is. And in turn, that showed me more of who I am in Him. And the realities of that inform this book, praise God. And so I shudder to think of the book I would have written before God revealed more of Himself to me, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's such a gift. And so for somebody listening who has this big audacious dream of doing something like starting a podcast or writing a book, there's so much I could say, but a couple of the things would be, if it feels like a long journey, it is. And what God is forming and refining and crafting in you now might feel insignificant, but it's actually so valuable in what the end product will be, right? Like corporately in my career for the last 8 or 9 years, I've been a recruiter. All I've done all day long is ask people questions. Right? I find and hire great talent for organizations. That's what I've known and done in my career. And a lot of days in my corporate job, that in the past has felt very mundane, right? And insignificant. I had no clue, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago that God was using that skill and developing that in me so that I could ask great questions of incredible people on a podcast. Right. And so it wasn't meaningless, but sometimes we only see that in hindsight. And so that's where I think a leap of faith and trust comes in of, okay, God, I trust that whatever you're crafting in me now is going to be used in the future. And so that's what I would say, I think.
Yeah, no, that's so good. I'm so actually glad you said that. And I don't know what just sparked in me, but that actually really fired me up, Rebecca, because I hear it all the time of, you know, I'm going through this, or I don't like my job, or I hate my job. And it's like, but what you're going through right now, there's a purpose for it.
Yeah.
And if I can look back at the 10, 11 year corporate career that I had, and yeah, there were times that I didn't like it, but wow, what did it teach me?
Yeah.
Did it teach me to have conversation? It taught me to be able to have important conversations with people and ask those questions in a corporate sales role. Like, it taught me things and I will forever be grateful. Mm-hmm. And I think when people can be grateful for what they went through, mm-hmm. going through it and achieving it will be that much sweeter.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. That is so amazing that you said that. So thank you. When you were going to do your thing in 15 and writing your book, what were some of the things that you had to overcome? And the reason I ask, mm-hmm. you know, what you had to overcome is because there may be some people living through this right now or listening to this, and they say, well, Rebecca's, she's got a book, she's got a podcast, and she speaks so elegantly, but you had to go through some things. What were some things that felt like you had to go through?
Yeah. Whew. So what immediately came to mind when you said that was launching a book and doing what we do now is so different than doing what we do in speaking and writing would have been 10 to 15 years ago, right? Like when we were growing up, when we were in high school, college, you know, there was the Beth Moore, the Priscilla Schreiers of the world, but there weren't women out there doing podcasting, and there weren't as many women's conferences and women writing books and Bible studies and things as there are now. That just wasn't the reality. And so there also wasn't the reality of a need for a platform to do what we do, right? People got book contracts because they were good writers, not because they had a big platform. And so I think one of the biggest things, if I'm real honest, that I had to overcome and honestly probably make peace with is that very reality, right? When I went to that writing conference, I sat in a session where they talked about, you know, really to get a book contract and to walk down this path, you've got to either have really good content, you've got to have a crowd that you're drawing together. You have to have both, really, to do this these days. And so I remember going home thinking, like, man, I've got like 500 followers on Instagram. How in the world am I ever gonna be able to do this? You know, and really, does it feel authentic to build a platform just so I can do what I feel called to do? Right? There's so many angles of it that many of us struggle with in this area. If we could ignore that, or we could be real about it and just make peace with it, right? And at the end of the day, I get it, right? Like brick and mortar Lifeway stores have closed down. You go in a Books a Million, a Barnes and Noble, and you know, the Christian nonfiction section of a bookstore now is like an aisle, like singular one. And so book space on shelves is less than it used to be. And publishers are relying more on authors to really market and sell their book. And so I say that to say that was something I really had to make peace with of, yes, it's a ministry and God has called me to this work, and also it's a business and you have to treat it as such, right? Yeah. And so I think navigating through that was a obvious challenge. I also think, you know, rejection is a huge thing that has to be overcome and sort of persevered through in this industry. And so I left that conference with several rejections from agents who said, you know, I think you have a lot of potential, but you've got a lot of work to do. And yeah. I remember sitting with an author. Her name is Nikki Koziar. She actually endorsed the book, which was such a gift to me. But we got to sit over lunch at that very conference. And I remember her telling me, I will never forget it. She said, Rebecca, about 750 out of the 800 people who are in this room will go home discouraged because mm-hmm. they didn't leave with the connection with an agent or a publisher that they were hoping for, and they will give up and they will not take the next steps towards this dream, this big dream that they have. Everybody in this room has big dreams or they wouldn't be here. But a very small percentage of the people in this room will get traditionally published book deals one day, will persevere and walk down this path, and they will do what it takes because they feel compelled and called to this work. And you have to decide which group you're going to be in, right? Are you going to let this discourage you and are you going to quit? Or are you going to take one step of obedience after another? It might be 10 years before you see that book on a shelf, but are you going to persevere through the rejection and what it takes to, you know, to end up and, you know, at that destination, and not out of a place of striving at all, but it's part of the process, right? And part of, you know, experiencing that rejection shaped me in being able to write the book that we're now going to see on shelves in the spring. And I actually talk about rejection in the book. So again, God used that as a part of my story. And so So yeah, whether it's writing or creating something new, starting a business, whatever it is that the listener is coming to the conversation with, there are definite places and spaces where you will experience challenges and things to be overcome. And again, that is part of what shapes us in the process, I think. So
I was listening or reading, I forget what it was, over the holidays, and someone had said something and they said, you know, a lot of people can look at individuals that may have success, whatever you deem successful.
Sure.
And they go, oh, it would be so easy. You know, they must have been, it was so easy for them. And it's like, no, no, no.
No.
Like, no, there's years and years and years of work and hard work and rejection. And I think you just summed that up so beautifully well. And, you know, I really want to get into your book. I want to get into a lot of what you love to speak on and write about. But I have a question. It kind of came up to me. Again, I told you before that before we hit record, I said, you know, I've got some questions on here, but most times I don't really get to them because stuff comes to me when you speak. But
love it.
Let's jump into a question. So how do you know, or what's your opinion? I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
That it is your calling. How do you know it could be from God? How do you know that it's the right voice?
Yeah. That's the big question that we're all grappling with, right? Like words like calling and purpose feel so big and audacious that sometimes I think we're so afraid that we're going to miss it that we get overwhelmed and we doubt, and that's very real and happens even to me and probably to you, Lane. I think first and foremost, there's the foundation for us as believers, right? Of as a follower of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, which is a biblical truth that we forget, right? And sometimes we don't live like it's true, that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is living inside me and inside you today and enabling us and empowering us as our helper, scripture tells us, to live out this life that God has placed before us. And so, you know, we look to scripture and we see this command of loving our neighbor and loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and discipling others. We see these commands that we know that we're called to as Christians. And yet the actual outpouring of that and what God has given and placed before us is going to look different for me and for you. And, you know, we're both podcasters, right? And yet God has given us totally separate audiences. You serve a different audience than I serve, and we're both faithfully doing that work. And so I think that's the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God, right? God has placed us uniquely in a community, within a people, with a set of gifts and talents that only you have, that unique package, right? And I think the gift this side of heaven is using that with all that we have for the glory of God. And there's challenges that come with that, right? That changes from season to season. I'm sure since you and Chelsea have had your son, I'm sure that's changed vocationally and career-wise what your capacity is and what that looks like. And sometimes we have shame in that, right? Like in seasons shifting and changing. I know when God called me to do more of this writing and speaking work, there was sort of the white elephant in the room of what's Rebecca going to do with her nonprofit, right? Like, can she lead this and write a book and do a podcast and be a pastor's wife and all these other things that are very obvious that God's called her to? And the answer was no. And I had to walk through this season of, okay, there's a real grief in letting go of something that God's called me to in the past that's not going to carry into this current season. And I write about it in the book. I had a conversation with my mom. She sat me down one day and she said, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm just sensing, you know, do you feel that this ministry is something that you're going to take into the future? And immediately I just teared up and I said, honestly, mom, no, I don't. And I haven't actually said that out loud, right? And so I want to have this conversation, and I will never forget. She looked at me and she said, Rebecca, you were faithful to what God called you to do. I watched it, I witnessed it, and you don't need my permission to faithfully walk forward into this new season. But if it helps you for me to say it out loud, like, you have my permission, right? To walk into what God has for you in the future. And so I think there's a discernment piece that we develop, right? As we continue walking with Jesus and developing that discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us that discernment and wisdom over time. The book of James promises us he'll give us that wisdom liberally if we ask for it, without reproach. And I'm so thankful for that and how that's been true in my own life. But, seasons change. I think callings change. The outpouring of how we use our gifts and talents will change. But ultimately, we're all called as followers of Christ to go out and make disciples. It just looks different in different seasons, and it looks different for all of us. That was a long way to answer your question.
No, that's beautiful. I mean, it's elegant and beautiful. And you know, seasons change. That is a beautiful statement. And I think that so many people can latch on to that if they truly understand that seasons do change. Mm-hmm. I actually was listening to an episode last night, and it was around seasons. And it said, you know, the seasons will come and they will change. And it's like in the winter time, be prepared because it's coming. But then in the spring, what comes right after it is, you know, it's a beautiful time. And I love that you said that. And, you know, I've watched your social media, now that we're getting to speak a little bit here, and you do such an amazing job of just serving your community and serving your listeners. How do you help people find their thing? Mm. Or do you find yourself talking with people that think that they know what they want to do and they just don't know how to pursue it? Or do you help people find their thing?
Yeah, I think it's both and, right? Some people will come to an event or hopefully this book with a pretty good idea of, here's how God's wired me, and I'm stuck. I need you to get me unstuck. Sometimes it's, okay, I've been doing this corporate thing for a while, like you and I both have done, and I feel unfulfilled, and I feel like there's something more, right? To the tune of, you know, the name of your podcast. And so I think it's...
I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm sorry.
No, do it.
Okay. Why? Because I'm curious by this. And I've been stuck. Why do you think people are stuck?
Yeah.
I know that's a heavy question.
No, I pause and I sigh only because there are so many, I think there's so many ways we get stuck, right? For some, it's comparison, right? And we can't get over the fact that we live in a society that is so highlight reel based, and it's hard for us to walk faithfully and take those next steps because we look to our right and to our left at other people who we feel can do it better than us or are already doing it better than us. So that can be the challenge. Doubt can be the challenge. Like, am I the girl? Am I the guy for the job, God? Like, sort of like Moses, right? Like, I'm not eloquent in speech. Surely there's somebody else that can go to Pharaoh and have that conversation with him, because it is not me, right? Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's fear that just cripples us and holds us back. And at the root of that, for somebody listening who just feels crippled by that today, I've been there. So many times that is sort of a denial of almost who God is and who we are as a result of that, right? Like, at the core, if I think of the thread that runs through everything that keeps us stuck, there's a big sort of truth about God that I think has transformed my life, and I pray transforms our lives as we walk through this material. And it's this idea that God is limitless, right? He is sovereign. He is omnipresent, omniscient, incredible Father. He has no limits, and yet we do. And we find ourselves this side of heaven in a sin-stained world. We're trying to be faithful, build God's kingdom. And we sometimes we're held back by our limits, right? And that's a very real reality in our calling. And sometimes even that makes us feel stuck, right? you could have said, Lane, gosh, we just had a baby. Like, how in the world am I going to find time to start this podcast and walk faithfully down this path that I know God's calling me to this, but I'm scared. I'm insecure. I'm comparing myself to all the other podcasters out there in my space. It's oversaturated. All the things that you could say, right? But you took those steps of obedience. And so getting over that hump, many times, those are some of the things that hold us back. And also, I think those are some of the truths that we have to remember about who God is and who we are and what that means as we live out our calling. But back to your, which comes back to the original question of helping people find their calling. My husband and I had this conversation a couple years ago that really helped me frame this. He said, you know, as a pastor, I have a lot of the same similar conversations. One of the main things people will come to me for counseling for is, I just want to be faithful in what God's called me to do. Help me do that. And so we're both passionate about that conversation. And he said, you know, I think at the root of it, you're helping people discern what really matters to you, right? Like, what are needs in the world that you feel passionate to serve? How do you feel gifted and wired to build God's kingdom? What matters to other people, right? What are some pain points in the world that you see that you feel that what matters to you kind of latches on to what matters to them in a way that you can serve them? And then what matters to God? What matters in his, what do we see as clear in his word that matters to him and matters in building his kingdom on this side of heaven? And it's almost like a Venn diagram, right? Like, we think back to that sort of concept, and we're like in elementary school and we're comparing this to that. And there's this beautiful moment in the middle where they all come together, and there's this little space where they all meet together in the middle. And that sort of happens in our calling, right? When we figure out what matters to me, what matters to others, what matters to God, and where's the intersection of that in how I'm using my gifts and talents to build his kingdom?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the mirror and window analogy?
Okay. I feel like I remember this, but remind me.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, going back to your comparison game or the fear game of finding your thing or doing your thing. I mean, I was told, don't do a podcast. There's too many people doing podcasts. Like, don't do it. Like,
okay.
unless you are committed, then don't do it. And I could have sat there and I could have looked even at Rebecca. I could have looked in the window. Mm. You know, so many people, I think, get caught looking in the window at other people instead of looking at the mirror and say themselves and saying, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is what God has got me to do, because I don't have, like you said, the talents that Rebecca has. Rebecca doesn't have the talents that I have.
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't matter who you serve. It's if you can serve one person. And just like, I've had my doubts. The very first time that I hit publish on my first four episodes, I was sweating. And I was like, I can't do this.
Me too. I listened back to my first several. And okay, can I just say this? Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
No. I listened back to my first probably 25 episodes. And can I say the word suck? Can I use that word on this podcast? Yeah. They suck. I was a horrible interviewer, right? I had to be a bad interviewer to be a good interviewer, right? And so that's such a very real part of the outworking of our calling so many times, is the actual just doing the work. We don't get good at something by just thinking about it, by just praying about it a little longer when we know that we're supposed to take that step of obedience, right? That can hold us back sometimes. And so I just totally agree with you. And I just want to say this. Somebody on my podcast, we recorded an episode the other day, and this truth, just, I've thought about it for days. We were talking about, you know, the whole conversation of there's too many people already out there doing what I feel called to do. And she said, you know, several years ago, I was reading the Gospels. This is going to blow your mind. And she said, I read the account of Jesus's birth and ministry and so many of the stories. And I'm going through the book of Matthew. And then I get to the book of Mark. And I'm reading a similar account to the same story. And I find in the inherent, without error, in the word of God, several different people have accounts of the same story included in the Bible, in scripture. And God deemed that necessary. Mm-hmm. And so I look to maybe an industry that feels oversaturated and maybe somebody's saying a similar thing as what I feel called to do. Okay, well, we can look to scripture and see that there is a very real case that there's room for you at the table, right? If that was the case in the writing and the canonizing of the word of God, then it can be true in an oversaturated market in the world that we live in today. And so, yeah, I just hope that encourages somebody because it has it has stuck with me for days. So,
do you want to share what episode that will be so people can go listen to that?
I will. Yes. So I'm pulling up my calendar right now. It will be episode 247. It's called Unleash Your Creativity with Rachel Kong. So it's a good episode that's coming. So
now, okay, real quick before we get into your book, because I do want to kind of get into a little bit of the flow. So what you can expect as a podcaster, what has been one of the, what's been the best interview that you've ever had a chance to interview? And if someone is listening to the Built for More podcast, they should run over right now and listen to one of your episodes.
Okay. There's so many that I could say, Lane, but the one that comes, it's such a hard question, but I will say my knee jerk answer to this every time somebody asks is Johnny Erickson Tata. So if you don't know her story, she was in a diving accident when she was in college that left her quadriplegic for life. And she has written and spoken, has a incredible nonprofit for just our friends with disabilities. And she does amazing work. And I don't know that I have ever met another human this side of heaven with a joy for Christ, the way that she just exudes it in the midst of a life she never would have chosen. And that interview, I will never forget it. And so if you just need a dose of encouragement or you're having a hard day and having a pity party, man, nothing will shake you out of that like a conversation with Johnny Erickson Tata. So that was a good one.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. Well, I'll make sure to go listen to that one too. I'll let you know about that one. So Do the Thing, April 4th is coming out, the first book. I know you've shared your whole journey and I know that it's been inspirational for me and I know the listeners too, just because going through the trials and going through the ups and the downs is so important to understand where this came from.
Yeah.
So when someone gets Do the Thing and they read it, what will they get out of it?
Yeah. So my hope is whether you are the go-getter person coming to this conversation and you feel discouraged, you feel stuck like we talked about, or you are still discovering what is my calling and how do I live that out? My hope is that it encourages you. I think more than anything, it's a field guide to how do I connect my gifts and talents that God's lavished on my life with how do I live that out in a way that builds God's kingdom. And so we start the book really at the foundation of that. How do I have an eternal perspective on my calling? And then there's some unique seasons like we've talked about that we will all experience in our calling. When God calls us to start something new, when we're enduring in something that feels really hard, when God calls us to quit. I have a whole chapter about quitting things. And it's funny, that was a late addition and it's ended up being one of the most asked about chapters of the book. And so that was just a God thing. I'm thankful for that. And then the rest of the book really focuses on some of those challenges that we named throughout this episode that we will run into, like fear, doubt, insecurity, comparison, really running faithfully in your lane and what that looks like. And you know, you'll look at the book, it's a little bit different of a size than a typical nonfiction trade book that you'd see on a shelf. And the reason for that is it's very interactive. At the end of every chapter, there is a whole section that it's titled For the Go-Getter Girl. So like, how do I live this out after I've read through this material? And so there's scriptures to reflect on, prayer prompts to work through if you're a journaler, some questions to kind of walk through in a group setting. And hopefully, you know, that's my prayer is that people will go through it together. And there's also a video series that you can unpack, whether it's just by yourself and you just need a little dose of encouragement, or you're going through a book club or a small group and you're walking through this together. I kind of kick you off after every couple of chapters if you're gathering to walk through it together. And so my prayer is that it's not just a book that we read and, you know, it's cute and it sits on a coffee table. But I say this in the introduction, I hope it's highlighted and dog-eared and torn up and tattered by the time you get done with it because of what God's done in us and through us as we really look to scripture for the foundation of our calling. And so that's a little bit of what you can expect.
That's remarkable. As you sit here and the year is here, the season's here for your book launch and what you've been through, explain the emotions or how are you feeling about to come out with this right now? And the reason I ask that is because so many people want to know what that feeling's like. They want to know, God called me to something, but I don't know if this is the right thing. And what's the feeling like to encourage someone to say, if this is what God's called you to do, this is what it feels like. So I'm curious what that feels like.
Yeah. Honestly, the word that comes to mind is just pure joy. I'm so grateful. You know, like we've talked about, I've been walking down this path for a decade. And so to be able to physically hold a representation of what I feel like God's called me to do in my hands and see it on a shelf is, man, it's incredible. And to think that, you know, in a few months, businesses will be started or people will take next steps of faith and get involved in something they feel called to, or nonprofits might be started. Or, you know, I didn't write this book just because like I wanted to see a book on a shelf that had my name on it. I want to build this book so that it multiplies and builds God's kingdom. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, like, why did I spend all this time doing what I'm doing? You know, right? Like that's... The end goal has absolutely nothing to do with me. And so I actually got a message the other day, and I think this matters to say out loud. I got a message from a girl that she's interviewing me on her podcast in a couple of weeks, and she had read the book, and just to hear what God has done in her as she went through the material. So it was sort of the first moment of that I got to experience. And so, you know, I know every author experiences, you know, negative Amazon reviews and all the other things that I'm sure will come and all those good things. And that's fine and part of the process. But I think there's just such joy in getting to see sort of people call writing a book sort of like birthing a baby, right? So you're getting to see this come out into the world and see people experience it for the first time. And so that just brings me so much joy.
Yeah. I love how you said that. And it's so true. I can see it in your face. I can hear it in your words. And I can't wait to see the people's reactions to it. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, just start what you said, the businesses and the ministries out of that too. So I know in the beginning of the podcast, before we hit record, you guys are going to be doing a giveaway of some sort. Let the listeners make sure that they hear about this.
Absolutely. So we will be doing a launch team for the book, which I'm so excited to lead and get to just cheer on everybody as they're going through the material, which is going to be so fun. We'll do that in a Facebook community. And so the really exciting and most important part to share would be when you pre-order the book, which you can do now as you're listening to this episode at any major retailer, and then you can go to dothethingbook.org. You'll scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. There's a form that you fill out. And when you sign up for the launch team, we are gifting everyone with a 30-day devotional. It's called Your Gifts, His Glory. And it has topics related to topics in the book. And the great thing that I'm excited about is I pulled in 29 of my other friends. I wrote one and had 29 other people write one as well. And so there's a lot of just different perspectives and people's stories coming to this resource that we'll get to share for free. And there's also an audiobook version of the Your Gifts, His Glory devotional narrated by me. And so if you're more of an auditory learner, that can be fun as well. There's also a quiz called How Well Do I Know My Calling? And that can kind of help you gauge where you are in that process of finding your calling and living that out. And so that helps hopefully inform, you know, you're reading a little bit as you walk through the book. And there's also a goal planning guide that will help you walk through, okay, what are my next steps and how do I take them and be faithful in that as I walk through the book? And then there's also a Spotify playlist that we hope you enjoy. It's so worshipful and great as you walk through the material of the book. And so we are gifting all of that to you when you pre-order the book. So
that's amazing.
Yes.
That is remarkable. That is so cool. And you don't know that I'm going to do this, but I definitely want to do this because this has served me so well and served my audience well. So with that, the first three people that will tag Rebecca and I, put this on your social media, your Instagram or your Facebook, I myself will send or pre-order those three books for those individuals.
That's amazing.
The first three people that do it, listen to this episode, I'll go in and I will do that and you will get everything completely for free. So I will do that for the listeners. So the first three people, make sure you tag myself and Rebecca on your Instagram stories or on your main feed, whatever is the best for you guys.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Lane. That's awesome.
No, I can't wait. This is going to be so good. I'm cheering for you. This is, this episode has been everything that I told my wife that I thought it was going to be. You just shine so much Jesus. And it really is amazing to see what you're doing for the kingdom, and I'm better for doing this episode. So thank you for giving me your time.
Well, I'm grateful, Lane. I am so grateful for the work that you do and how you are equipping people who feel built for more. And I'm excited to see what God continues to do through your ministry and your work. And so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, make sure you go and follow Rebecca. Actually, you know what, Rebecca? Tell the people where they can follow you at.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably the most active over on Instagram, and my handle is at Rebecca George Author.
At Rebecca George Author. Guys, go follow her, pre-order, tag us. We'll get you the book and get all the free stuff that they're throwing in. Rebecca, thank you so much. Happy 2023, and we will see you guys next episode.
Awesome. Thanks, Lane.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Built for More podcast. My name is Lane Taylor, and I hope that this added so much value to your life. Please share this with someone that you think it would add value in their life. Share it on your social media, but then also you could do me a huge favor. If you could go to Apple and scroll all the way down to the bottom, give us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review, truly would mean the world to me. To stay up to date with the show, go to lanetaylor.co, give us your email, and we will contact you when new episodes come out or anything exciting that is happening in the Built for More community. Until next time, thanks again.